Ooh, there's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. Producer Tom, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
So last week, the city of Seattle and this entire region really dealt with a shooting in Lake City that claimed the lives of two people, that injured two others, that obviously impacted a whole bunch more. And we're trying to figure out exactly what happened. Now, the news so far has been that this has been determined to be a random, senseless act of violence. The suspect who was charged in this told police that he's a recovering alcoholic, that he was drinking heavily that day. He kind of blacked out. He had no memory whatsoever of killing two people. He had no memory whatsoever. Now, we've been trying to figure out whether or not there's also some level of mental illness involved in this case. I have no idea. And I don't know enough about alcoholism. I certainly know about blackouts from people talking about it. I've never heard anyone doing something like this and then blaming the alcoholism, but I'm not an expert. Neither is Mayor Jenny Durkan. Unless she knows something we don't yet know, and it's certainly possible she's in a position that maybe she has access to information we don't have, she is pursuing this as a gun rights issue, that this individual purchased a weapon legally, got a hold of this weapon legally. Again, I haven't seen any reports suggesting either way. I just don't know. But she seems to imply that it was the case that he got the guns illegally. And you know what? We need to strengthen our gun laws because that's why this happened.
We do a very poor job of determining whether someone has the capacity to own a weapon. We've seen time and time again where someone with mental health problems cycle out of the court system, get access to weapons, and use them to kill people.
Now, that is true. Is that the case here? Is that what happened here? Because I haven't yet seen the info yet. Now, we already know the federal law prohibits anyone with a chemical dependency from having guns. Now, was he someone who has a chemical dependency, or is this him just telling us that? Was a gun shop owner supposed to know that this individual, the shooter, was dealing with an illness that would prohibit him from owning a gun? Were they told that via the background check? Because I'm not going to get in the way of her main point of there are times in which behind the scenes, government agencies are not working together, are not cooperating, are not sharing information, and bad people who shouldn't have guns end up getting guns. I'm just wondering specifically if that's the case here. Now, I've already heard from Councilmember Teresa Mosqueda, who when this crime scene was not even yet handled, was not done, she sent out very quickly, I remember it was 6:34, I believe the time was, on the night of the event, and said, we need stricter gun control laws. Well, that's in conflict with what Mayor Jenny Durkan is saying, because it doesn't sound like he's saying we need more laws. Presumably, she's not going to take a position we need more laws if she's complaining the laws we have on the books that would have prevented this are just not being followed. So Councilmember Teresa Mosqueda came out and said, we need more gun laws. What gun law? What additional gun law would we need that could have prevented this? Because if this was, in fact, someone who has a chemical dependency and he was able to purchase a gun legally, then the gun law we have on the books right now is not fully being followed through. So what more gun laws do we need? Obviously, if this doesn't show up on a background check, that is a problem. But this whole idea of, well, that means we need more gun laws. We need more gun laws that won't be fulfilled? This seems to me just to be a lazy response on everybody's part, including the mayor's part. Unless she has information that we don't have. It just seems like a lazy response. And you want to know the truth, even though nobody wants to actually say this. Sometimes bad things like this happen. That's the truth. That's the truth. He had a gun. He killed two people. He could have just as easily killed more than that using a car that he ends up carjacking. He could have stabbed. Bad things happen. And reflexively, you have an ideological difference between Republicans and Democrats. Most of the time, not always. But in most of the times, in cases like this, you have Republicans saying we should focus on the person. In this case, someone who was presumably an alcoholic, maybe worse. Whereas Democrats want to pay attention to the weapon. And they do so by asking for more laws or tightening of laws before we even have the facts. And so until I have the facts, I'm not going to take a position on this. Other than we need to follow the law, certainly. But let's actually find out what caused this. And then maybe once we get all the information, we can come up and have a meaningful conversation across the aisle. I'll have it with Mayor Jenny Durkin. I know she doesn't like to talk to us. I know they really don't like me, and they're certainly not going to like me after tomorrow's story I have going up at KTTH.com. But I'm happy to talk to anyone across the political spectrum to come up with a solution, but we have to have solutions based on facts. And right now, we just don't have the facts. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Celebrity news.
Celebrity news. We turn specifically to the wonderful Jussie Smollett. Oh, Jussie. Little Jussie just got nominated for an award. Just got nominated specifically for an award surrounding his role on Empire, not the wonderful fiction that he participated in as it relates to a hate crimes hoax in Chicago. I mean, that was a wonderful performance, right? I mean, if that were an acting gig, can we all say we probably would have given him at least a nomination? If what happened in Chicago was just a movie scene or a TV scene, right? I feel like we would give. It was somewhat convincing.
It might actually be an actual movie scene here with these shows coming out.
It could certainly be. But no, he was nominated for Empire. But in the aftermath of all of this, there are people who are coming up and finally saying, okay, something doesn't smell right here. And usually it's a Republican who will make that point. But in this case, Republicans are being joined by pretty significant Democrats. And I give kudos to Rahm Emanuel. I know he tried to shift it over into blaming Donald Trump, but he has been pretty loud on this issue going after the prosecutors in Chicago. Kudos to him. And kudos to Amy Klobuchar, the senator from Minnesota. She's running for president. She doesn't need to get involved in this because certainly in the past, the others who have been nominated, who are running for president, they jumped in and said, we back Kamala Harris, Cory Booker. We back Jussie. This is a shame it happened. Bernie said, we back him. And then when it found out it was a hoax, they were like, well, let's just wait and see. Let's wait for the facts. Well, Amy Klobuchar goes on ABC and says, you know what? The prosecutors need to be transparent about what happened here.
I don't understand why the prosecutors could not explain why they did what they did. I don't think anything prevents them. They brought these charges. It's a major public case in which major resources were expended. And I would agree with the mayor here. It makes no sense to me. You have an obligation when you represent the public to explain what you're doing. They made a decision to bring those charges and they made a decision to make those charges public, then they need to describe why they decided to go the other way.
All right.
And they didn't do that, and I think that leaves the public hanging. Gets to one of the reasons I'm running for president. I think we need people to understand what you're going to do, stop the chaos, and just be clear with people and get things done, whether it's about when you bring a criminal charge or whether it's about getting an infrastructure plan or making sure people have their health care. Let's be honest with people. Look them in the eye. Tell them what you're going to do. That's what I've done my whole life.
Now, let's be clear about something. Obviously, when she turns this into her campaign, she's a politician. But the front part of her statement, number one, I completely agree with. And number two, understand that taking that position right now in the Democratic Party, filled with woke white dudes and white women who like to view themselves as the white knight coming toward to help African-Americans and people of color in this community, understand what she just said pisses those people off. She's not supposed to say anything. She's supposed to take the line that, you know what, Jussie Smollett is getting off here, and rightfully so, because this criminal justice system has screwed over countless African-Americans and Latinos and men and women, all from communities of color. Finally, someone got off. They're treating this the way that a lot of people in the black community treated the original O.J. Simpson acquittal. This is basically with Anthony Anderson, who is the star of Black-ish, who was the host of the Image Awards. That's basically what he said. That you had so many people who are harmed, so many people harmed, that you know what? Every once in a while, we need a win. And we're going to use this as that win. I hope he wins even in the Image Award, because he deserves it. Like, that's a crazy position. But it's a loud position coming from fringe members of the left, who can make it very difficult for someone like Amy Klobuchar, more difficult for her to actually win in this race to become the next president of the United States, or even just in this case, getting the nomination. So, you know, kudos to her. I'm glad she said something. Doesn't mean she's not an easy person to work for because she throws things at people.
Allegedly.
No, she acknowledges it. She goes, one time I threw a car.
She said
I picked up a car. I took that drug that gets me really powerful, and I just threw it at someone.
Ambien?
No, Ambien doesn't do that.
Well, Ambien does other stuff.
Makes me shop in the middle of the night and not realize it and sleep shop.
Yeah.
And then 2 days later, 3 days later, I get an alarm clock, like just, an old school alarm clock.
Just don't go the Roseanne Barr.
I'm kidding. She's never thrown a car at anyone. It was a motorcycle. You're listening to the Jason Rant Show. Did you know that we are on Instagram? In fact, if we get some more likes and follows on Instagram, I'll do a nice little video behind the scenes of the show during the next commercial break. Just fire up that Instagram app and search for the name Jason Rants. It's all one word. J-A-S-O-N-R-A-N-T-Z. Give me a follow and I'll do a Instagram story so you can see the studio that we broadcast from. And then I'll have producer Tom flex. Because he does that all the time and it makes me uncomfortable, but we might as well do it on camera.
Yeah, I'll flex.
Yeah, I know. God, he's the worst. Instagram, screen name Jason Rants. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Big picture.
So the Seattle Times is reporting that Amazon just got 100% from the Human Rights Campaign because they've got policies on the books that benefit the LGBTQ community. Their employees who happen to identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or queer. But apparently, that's not enough for some gay rights organizations. They don't want Amazon operating in states that have laws that basically protect religious freedoms. The group No Gay, No Way. No Gay, No Way. They're running a campaign against Amazon saying they shouldn't open a new operations hub in the city of Nashville because in Tennessee, they've got some laws that are being discussed that this organization doesn't like. Not even on the books yet. Laws that are being introduced and discussed, not actually having passed. That should get in the way of Amazon opening a hub that would employ 5,000 people, which I have to include, I have to assume includes gay people. I have to assume of those 5,000, some of them are going to be from the LGBTQ community. But never mind that, because this group doesn't like bills being discussed. And so they decide that they're going to bully a state legislature to try to act as economic terrorists, and that's what this is, because it's using ideology to go about the economy of Tennessee. Because some of the bills would protect religious institutions that don't want to adopt two families that don't adhere to their religious beliefs, which would then, of course, mean, hey, they're not going to adopt towards gay parents. Now, I don't like that bill. I hope it doesn't pass. I wish religious institutions would be a little bit more open-minded that you can get to gay parents and they will be in a good, these kids will be in a loving partnership with this family, a loving family. But I understand why they're doing this, and I don't want the government getting involved in a religious institution telling them how they can or cannot believe in God and practice their religion and practice what they preach, literally. Another bill would make it indecent exposure for a transgender person to use the locker room or shower that doesn't correspond with their biological gender. Again, I've said this in the past, I 100% understand families who are concerned about the idea of transgender people using locker rooms. Totally get that. And I don't know where I would fall on a bill like this other than to say that clearly transgender people have been using locker rooms for forever. Since locker rooms have been invented and there hasn't really been any problems, and the cases where there are problems, you can go ahead and arrest and prosecute to the fullest extent of the law. But again, this is up to Tennessee to decide, not Jason Rants in Washington State. I don't care that this organization does not like a specific bill that's on the books. They have every right in the world to get involved. No Gay, No Way on any organization like that does not care about Amazon. They care about exploiting Amazon and the economic gain a state or city or community can gain specifically from them being in the business in that community. They're exploiting that to push an ideology, and I think that's wrong. It's one thing for Amazon to say, you know what, we just don't ideologically agree with this. You have every right in the world to do that, but we're not going to set up shop here. If Amazon wants to do that and get behind a specific political opinion on their own, okay, more power to them. But to try to bully organizations into taking on a political point, understand the exact opposite can happen. The opposite of No Gay, No Way. Yes, gay. No way. I don't know what that would be. Yes, gay. No way. It would just change the grammar and the what?
So if you're not gay...
They're saying the original is no gay, no way, so then the opposite would be yes gay, no way. It would still be... It was because they don't want you to be... In any case, the opposite of that organization can get together and say, you know what, Amazon, if you don't do business in these states that support religious freedom, well, we're going to go after you. And we're going to tell people to kick you out of the state unless you accept these. Like, that's equally wrong. But there are a lot of religious people who can get that position, who can take that position, organize like no gay, no way, and do the exact same thing. I'm not going to choose which one's better. I'm just saying they're both bad. I don't want any of them to do that. Let these businesses make up their own minds. Stop trying to bully them into taking a position, unless you're okay with them being bullied into taking the position you don't like. I'd rather have none of it at all. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in the media?
So Joe Biden is accused of something being treated by a lot of people as a Me Too moment, but it's not. And the media has decided that in this case, they're going to take the side of Joe Biden because Joe Biden just happens to be a nice person who's not sexually threatening at all. He's a little handsy in that he'll touch a woman's shoulders or a man's shoulder, apparently, and maybe kiss them on the cheek. Or in the case of Lucy Flores, this Nevada lawmaker, kiss her on the head without it being inappropriate. But she said that this made her uncomfortable.
Out of nowhere, I feel Joe Biden put his hands on my shoulders, get up very close to me from behind, lean in, smell my hair, and then plant a slow kiss on the top of my head. To have the vice president of the United States do that to me so unexpectedly and just kind of out of nowhere, it was just shocking.
Okay, and it may be shocking, and I've been in a position where someone did that to me minus the kiss on the head. I had a soccer player over at the Sounders. He would go by and he would do a quick shoulder rub and say, hey, how's it going, Jason? And you're like, whoa, what was that? But then also I'm all like, oh, that felt good. Keep going. No, right there. But he would never do it. It would only last a minute. It would last a few seconds. I get that. But you know what? When you're put in that position where you feel uncomfortable, just like I kind of did, although at the end of the day, I wish it would have gone on a little bit longer, you turn to the person, you say, please don't do that. Or you do afterwards when you're not in a position where it could be awkward for everyone. Say, hey, if you could just not do that, I'd really appreciate it. That's his personality. This is not a dangerous personality. I get that you feel uncomfortable. And when you feel uncomfortable, you have the duty to tell that person. Otherwise, how are they supposed to know? Now, I generally take a position of just hands off. Don't touch any coworkers. Don't touch anyone you don't personally know. That's probably the safest thing to do.
Yeah, you got to keep your hands to yourself, man.
You tried to give me a massage the other day, and it was so uncomfortable for me. So uncomfortable. And I don't know. And you kept on doing it. I was like, my thigh doesn't hurt. Get off of me.
You looked stressed. I just tried to help.
But my thigh?
By the way.
This is not appropriate.
Picture Biden kissing your ear.
Gross, huh? Can we change the music a little bit? Maybe it's not. I'm kidding. So people are actually backing Joe Biden. Over at The View, Joy Behar, of all people who like to go after Republicans and would absolutely go after a Republican if Joe Biden was a Republican, she would go after it in a second. She said, eh.
I remember when I met him in Florida before he was vice president, and he was so friendly. He's the close talker.
Yes.
He comes right up in your face and you're thinking, I hope my breath is good, you know?
It's not.
And more important, I hope his is.
Yeah.
And, you know, so he talks close. He touches you. That's what he's like. And I feel it would be really unfortunate if we got rid of everybody who was just an affectionate kind of person. Those are nice people, too.
Okay, yeah. They're nice people, too. This is a nothing burger. Sorry. I will treat him the way I would want a Republican to be treated. So I will be consistent, unlike the left. This is not an issue. He's a guy who grew up at a time in which this kind of behavior was acceptable. It comes from a pure place. If you feel uncomfortable, you say something. Now, you can make the argument, as I'm sure some people on the left are making, that when you're the vice president, it's very hard for you to say something because of that power imbalance. Fair. And I totally accept that. You just went on national TV and you wrote an article and you happen to also be a political supporter of the people who would be running against Joe Biden. And so this just sniffs like you're trying to make this a Me Too moment when it's not. And I would caution the media outlets out there like Fox News's and the Daily Callers, the Daily Wires of the world. I would caution them against jumping on this other than to point out the double standard. Don't accuse Joe Biden of being a sexual harasser because he gets a little in your personal space. Let's make it clear that there's a difference between what Joe Biden is doing and an actual sexual assault. And to be clear, from this accuser's perspective, or the woman's perspective, she's not accusing him of sexual assault. But people are taking the story as a Me Too moment.
I couldn't help but notice you use the word burger.
Yeah.
So, I think people should know that they can tune in to the Jason Rant Show on Fridays at 4:15 and get my burger review weekly at 4:15.
Yeah. That's a point.
Where should I go next?
Everyone's just waiting to Friday at 4:15 just to find out your thoughts on burgers.
I'd be shocked if they weren't.
If you want to read his past blogs about the best burgers in Seattle, or really some not-so-best burgers in Seattle, go to KTTH.com right now. Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show on AM 770, KTTH, and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. We already know that Seattle's crime issue can cost businesses and nonprofits potential clients. When a community is unsafe, people tend not to want to visit, but it also literally can cost businesses and nonprofits. Anna Gottlieb is the executive director of Cancer Pathways, and her building has become overrun with graffiti at times, which they try to paint over as best as they can, only to have it get targeted yet again. And now, to make matters worse, the city is actually threatening to punish this nonprofit for a problem they're not causing. It's a story I first saw in the Seattle Times from Nicole Broder's column. Anna Gottlieb joins me now. Anna, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
So if you could explain the problem as you see it that your nonprofit is dealing with.
I will. We are Cancer Pathways, formerly Gilda's Club. We are a cancer support community that offers free services for any cancer patient in our entire city. We've been here for 18 years on the corner of Union and Broadway. And years ago, this started, the graffiti started and kept getting worse, and recently it's gotten much worse. Mm. Every time there was graffiti on our building, we got a letter from the city saying they would fine us $100 a day up to $5,000 if we didn't remove the graffiti.
It's maddening.
So for years and years, we paid the cost. We bought the paint. We bought the rollers. We had our staff do it. Every once in a while, somebody would help us. It's unsafe. We're on a corner where there's a bus line. Mm-hmm. There's wires. It's very unsafe and very time-consuming for our staff to be doing this. So as it's gotten worse, we've gotten more letters. And what really tipped this time is we got two letters in a row, and then a third came with two city employees up to our front door, tried to post the notice on our front door.
Wow.
We asked them to come in and talk to us. They declined, and they left. And that was it. That was what broke us. Really, I said, this is ridiculous. We painted over. In 2 days, it's back again. And so we have no recourse. We don't know who to go to. And that's, of course, on top of hypodermic needles, feces, urine.
Yeah.
That we always have to clean up all the time being on Capitol Hill. We love Capitol Hill. We love our building. But it's gotten to be where exactly what you said, we have support groups in the evening and education, and people are afraid to come here anymore.
And what drives me nuts about all of this, that they pretend that this is your fault and your problem, and yet they will charge you for something you have absolutely nothing to do with. And in the Seattle Times piece, Idris Beauregard is the manager of Seattle Public Utilities Graffiti and Illegal Dumping Division. They said to the Times that you guys are on a waiver list and they've never actually imposed a fine or penalty on you guys. And maybe that last part is true, but for them to go to your business to put up this sign clearly indicates that either Idris is not being honest or she's not communicating properly with her team.
Well, that is the truth. We've never been fined. But one of the reasons we've never been fined is because we take care of it ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we go to the expense to take care of it. That's why we've never had a fine. But this time we got really hit one weekend. We knew it was going to take us a long time. We need ladders. It's high up. It's hard to get to. And when two city employees showed up at our front door with a third notice, that was it. I said, this is getting, it's so out of hand now that, of course, we have never been fined because we listen to the city. We get rid of
it. And you're spending money, right? I mean, you're spending a lot of money as a nonprofit having to clean up this graffiti that you guys did not cause.
And that's not our mission. Our donors give us money for cancer services.
Unbelievable. Do you think the city cares?
I did call The director of SPU, the spokesperson, she is coming over here this week, so I'm hoping we can sit down, have a conversation about what it is we are supposed to be doing and not doing, and how the city can help us.
Yeah, and I truly hope that you take really good notes, because I want to know what they're actually proposing that you do. Because it's one thing to come down and say, we apologize, you're on this waiver list, we should not have targeted you. But that still doesn't actually address the problem of what you and many other businesses and nonprofits and property owners in the city are dealing with. Does it seem like they care about your perspective on this?
No, because we don't put the graffiti there yet. We're the ones who have to get rid of
this,
it.
By the way.
We've spent thousands of dollars over the years on rollers, ladders, paint, spray paint, everything we can think of, anti-graffiti paint. Nothing's worked.
So
we do have a mural on the other side of our building, but the problem is this side of the building is on Union.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bus stop. There's a lot of wires. And all the bus stops and the mailboxes are full of graffiti.
Yeah, and by the way, they make the point in the column as to whether or not Metro has been on the hook of cleaning up that graffiti that's there, which clearly, if they are, they're not actually cleaning it up, because I'm familiar with this area and there's lots of graffiti there. If you're just joining us, by the way, I'm talking with Anna Gottlieb. She's the executive director of Cancer Pathways. This is a local organization that offers resources and services free of charge to people living with cancer in the area. And they just constantly get targeted with graffiti, and rather than help them, the city is actually trying to charge them $100 a day for graffiti that stays on their property. And since this is a nonprofit and we like to give back to the community as best as we can, let's donate some money to Cancer Pathways at cancerpathways.org. Go there now, make some sort of support donation if you can, because this is just absolutely ridiculous. cancerpathways.org. Anna, have you been in contact with the city about this problem in the past?
We have. We've called many times, and we were never told we were on a waiver. There was nothing they could help us with, and we just got to the point where we can't keep doing this.
Of course. And what do they say when you tell them that you've got all these people or individuals putting graffiti on your business? What's the answer to that?
Everybody has it, and we should look for volunteers to help us get rid of it.
That's unbelievable.
That's not much of an answer for somebody who gets graffitied all the time.
Well, let's say it happened once. That's not the answer either. I mean, how about going after the root causes of the graffiti going up to begin with? Is there any indication that this, are you being targeted, or is this just people who may be gang affiliated or whatever, just doing it willy-nilly in the neighborhood?
I don't think we're targeted by any means, because every building around here has graffiti. And as far as gang tags, which the city said we have to get rid of faster, I don't even know what those are.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what that was. It all looks the same to me. And they say if it's gang related, we must clean it immediately. I have no clue.
Yeah. How long have you been in this location?
18 years.
Okay. So over the last 18 years, you've been there since 2001. How has the community changed?
Oh, boy. Light rail, trolleys, no parking, much more homeless activity, condos, nightclubs. It's really gotten to be where people tell us they don't want to come here in the evening anymore. There's absolutely nowhere you could park. There's people screaming and yelling all the time around here, and it just is not perceived as safe.
So why do you stay?
We don't want to move. We don't want to leave. We want to work with the city. We'd like to work with other businesses. We'd like to see us have a really honest communication of how all of us, businesses and nonprofits, can deal with this. Businesses around here come in the morning, there's homeless people sleeping in their, you know, by their front door, and everybody's affected by it. And I think we need to have a really honest communication with the city and find out what we can do. They should have their own department that covers up graffiti. That would be less time consuming than them driving around and coming here.
What would you like to see the city do to address this bigger problem? Not necessarily just the graffiti on the wall, but the scenario in which someone is actually feeling compelled to put graffiti on a wall.
I would like them to come out here, really take a good look around this neighborhood, talk to us and tell us, are there things we could or should be doing? We've tried everything. We fit every criteria. We have lights up. We have security cameras up. We're on a corner. We're not hidden. I mean, it's in broad daylight and broad evening where people put the graffiti up. How should it be dealt with? We have a wonderful police precinct near us, and mm-hmm. they do come help us, but they have no authority to arrest people and take them in for graffiti. And they're frustrated because they say whoever they arrest anyways gets out in an hour.
Exactly. And that's a story that we've been on for about a year and a half now. We've got actually a story tomorrow concerning how sort of tied the hands of these cops are. This is outrageous. We're going to reach out to Idris Beauregard from Seattle Public Utilities Graffiti and Illegal Dumping Division. We're going to ask her some tough questions if she's willing to actually come on. You've been willing. We thank you so much for that. Again, cancerpathways.org. Go there now. This is a tremendous organization that's dealing with something that they did not cause. This is not a problem that Cancer Pathways is asking for or is participating in. This is because of city inaction on a problem that's gotten completely out of control. Cancerpathways.org. Anna Gottlieb, thank you so much for stopping by. We wish you the absolute best of luck. You let us know what they tell you when they meet with you later this week, and we'll help put some pressure on them in the aftermath of that meeting, okay?
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rance Show, 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline. Welcome back to The Jason Rance Show. We are live in the Online Trading Academy studio. I smell today, and it's not because of any bathing issue, but because I take garlic supplements, and garlic in some cases can actually produce a rather unpleasant body odor. And that has nothing to do with my next story, which is about how millennials in general have no romantic partners. I just wanted to just make two separate points of I smell, but I'm also single like most millennials. But part of this story drives me nuts because apparently this study confirms that in general, we're talking about millennials, in this case, 18 to 34-year-olds. They are choosing not to have a significant other. They are making that choice, whereas I, who am not making that choice, feels bad about being single still. And so I talk about this story with a little bit of anger in my soul. 51% of people between the ages of 18 and 34, Americans between those ages, do not have a steady romantic partner. That is up significantly from when they asked the same question in 2004, where it was just 33%. That's the lowest figure since the question was first asked in the General Social Survey study. And it's up slightly from 2016, where it was at 45%. And what's interesting, it also has some ideological reasons. 41% of Democrats are without a steady partner, compared with 29% of Republicans. Now, there are a whole bunch of different trends that we can go over in a second. But when I look at a story like this, it drives me absolutely mad. Because I'm someone who wants to be in a relationship if I can find the right person. And I found someone who I was recently interested in. But then, of course, I ended up getting ghosted through for whatever reason. And that sucks. And you just feel bad about it.
Ghost you, bro.
But not only was I ghosted. What did you say? Ghost you, bro?
I said he ghost you, bro.
Of course. Because that's what I'm deserving of, apparently. Doesn't it kind of bother you when you've got an interest in being in a relationship, assuming you find the right person, and then you see a study like this that millennials are choosing not to be in relationships? Because then I wonder, is there something wrong with me? Is that part of the reason why I'm single? Or is it that there is something wrong with me, but also has nothing to do with why I'm single? You know what I mean?
Do you
is there a causal relationship here?
Think millennials are choosing?
Yes, I think they are.
No,
I think they absolutely
are.
Are you choosing to be single right now?
I'm not choosing nor dischoosing.
So you're kind of just going with the flow.
Right.
But then I would argue then you're choosing to be single. Because if you're just going with the flow, you're not really as open, I think, to a relationship than you would be if you're actively looking.
I'm not actively looking.
Are you on Tinder?
Yes.
Okay, well then you're actively looking. Unless you're just using that as a hookup app.
No. My parents listen. Millennials are lying. No one, they're, of course, when you ask them, hey, why are you single? It's my choice. Like, no, you're just unattractive.
I don't know. I've definitely spoken to people who have taken positions that they are comfortable being alone. and are not actively looking. And they'll sometimes take the approach that I think you're implying of, if it happens, it happens. Like, I'm actively looking for someone to be in a relationship, or quasi-actively looking. It's kind of hard with my work, and I'm just like a social Kermit, or hermit. I don't like going out, although maybe, I mean, also Kermit.
What happens when you tell them you're conservative? That can't
help. That's the other thing. Like, that ruins it. And if I'm looking to date someone who maybe shares my political persuasions, I don't need to date someone who's a conservative. I'd like them to be at least open-minded. The problem is, when you're talking about people who are single and are around my age or slightly younger or slightly older, if they're liberal in the city, they tend not to want to date someone who is conservative. They are not looking for that kind of ideological diversity in their life. And that makes it even smaller for me. So I have to find someone who's gay and a conservative in the Seattle area. And I'm just not going to be able to find that. And I think that part of the reason why I end up getting interested in people who I shouldn't be interested in, and maybe I push them away for being a little bit too eager, when you happen to find someone who happens to fall into that every single check mark next to the requirements. And at this point, by the way, my requirements, just gay. That's literally it at that point. And like reasonably aged and have a sense of humor and be out of my league.
And
like,
can handle your snarkiness.
Snark and ego.
Good
and
luck,
my
buddy, whoever you are, good luck.
Inability to accept the good things in my life and to maybe, you know, deal with the fact that I always feel like people are coming after me, like the paranoia there, and then be okay with me actually not wanting to go out all the time. Like, is that too much to ask?
Do you want them to go with you on your movie reviews every week? I mean,
they can. That's certainly an option. So I usually go with my friend David, and I will throw him to the curb in a heartbeat for someone who I'm romantically interested in, because I'm not romantically interested in. I'll throw him aside easily. I'll never talk to him again. I'll hire him to be my board op and producer. Like, I'm at that point.
Hold on now. Let's not get hasty.
They say women are having fewer children. They're having them later in life when they do choose to have them. The median age of first marriage is increasing. According to a 2017 report from the Pew Research Center, among those who have never married but are open to it, most say a major reason is that they haven't found the right person. Why are we not finding the right people? And I, you know, part of that, I think, is the online dating scene, that when you swipe right and you get a connection, you get super excited. But you know what? You also get another person who's showing up right in front of you that you can choose to swipe right on also. And when you have all of these options at your disposal, or the appearance of all of these options, I feel like people don't want, it's not the word settle is not right, but they don't want to go with what they currently have, because there's always the potential of something better. And I'm not, by the way, the only person who's having relationship struggles. Saul Spady did a whole segment the other day about not being able to find a girlfriend, and I think we should do a podcast about relationships.
He had a girlfriend when he started the show a few months back.
Okay, you don't have to open that wound.
Oh. Sorry, I know how that sounded.
You're bad. It's the Jason Rantz Show.